Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to encourage you to check out my wife's business, Asher Eclipse. Asher Eclipse is my wife's business offering hair clips, hairpins, and headbands. She offers them in a wide variety of different styles to suit the needs of different women. Plus, they come in a variety of sizes to fit various hair types. You can check out her business at lilarose.biz/Ashira. That's L-I-L-L-A rose.biz/Ashira, A-S-H-I-R-A. And you can also view her Facebook page over at ashira.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for us to get back into raffles. And this is actually an audition for a half-hour program. The story stars Horace Bram, who also starred in the serialized Raffles Adventures from 1943, which unfortunately we don't have a complete story. It was an audition, never made it to air. The original, audition date is August the 23rd, 1945, and the title is Murder Signs Its Name.
There's danger. There's mystery. There's action on the way with Raffles. Raffles, formerly gentleman cracksman, gentleman adventurer, ace of knaves. Raffles, now reformed, matches wits with the underworld, devotes his time and talent to upholding law and order, even though his methods are highly unconventional and would never be found in the police manual. Tonight's story, Murder Signs Its Name. The smart set is out in full force this evening, for Hollywood's latest million-dollar production is having its premiere. Flash bulbs have popped, visiting celebrities have preened like peacocks, and autograph hunters have had a field day. But inside the theater, the fashionable audience is learning with a yawn that the picture has little in common with its advanced ballyhoo. From his reserved seat in the 20th row, a handsome, well-dressed young bachelor is frankly bored.
My princess, Already I have offered you my sword. Now I offer my heart.
Since you to hide your hard ambition beneath soft words.
Oh, dear, this is really...
I have but one ambition, Highness, to bring you happiness.
I got an ambition, too, to get out of here.
My happiness only requires your absence. The greater the distance you put between us, the happier you make me.
The lady has something there.
And not very good as a tramp.
No, the act is a bit close to a scream.
Shh, quiet, please.
Only the right to protect you.
Your lies are as great as your conceit.
My heaven, if you were a man. Well, if you were a man, I should not be here.
That does it. I can't take any more.
Excuse me,
please.
Because I am a woman, you think
you're
weak.
Well, that's okay.
You think I'm not strong enough to keep my throne.
I beg your pardon.
Just a minute.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, can you make it?
Yes. Thank you. Sorry to stop.
Sit down, Harvey.
Oh, yes. Say, do you know who that fellow was who just went out?
No. Why should I?
You've heard of Raffles, haven't you?
Raffles? Delphorn Burger? Of course. Just last week, Anne Van Vant was telling me that he's a kind of detective now.
Yeah, so I hear. He spends a lot of time at Filippo's restaurant. Filippo pointed him out to me the other day.
Excuse me, lady. Oh, sorry. Could I get by, please?
It's quite all right. I didn't see you coming.
I hope I didn't hurt you.
No, not at all.
Excuse me, friend. I'm getting out, please.
Oh, certainly.
Thanks very much.
Phyllis, this is really impossible. Let's go ourselves.
Thank heavens. Just let me get my wrap over my shoulder. Harvey, my necklace.
Huh? Well, what is it?
It's gone. My pearls are gone.
Shh, maybe they fell on the floor.
Oh, where's your cigarette lighter? So dark in here.
I've got it. Just a minute now. Move your feet.
Oh, I never should have worn my pearl.
It isn't on the floor here anywhere.
But I touched it just a minute ago.
Now, my dear, it'll turn up. The police or the insurance company will find it.
But they'll take weeks. We'll never find it that way. It's been in my family for ages.
Oh, it'll turn up, dear.
Well, if you won't do anything about it, I will. I'll see you at home later.
Phyllis! Phyllis, wait! Where are you going?
I'm going to get someone to find my necklace.
Phyllis, wait!
Ah, that's it, Filippo. Now, another scoop of mayonnaise.
Yes, Signor Raffles. I ask you, I beg you, you must not eat this abomination.
Put in some more chili sauce, please.
Speranza perduta.
Good. Has the ice cream melted yet?
Please.
Fine. Now, add a dash of dry mustard. Then sprinkle some breadcrumbs on the lettuce before you pour the ice cream on it.
Tomorrow I am going to attend your funeral.
Now, mix it well, Filippo. Don't beat it to death.
Mr. Raffles?
Seems we have company, Filippo.
Oh, don't get up, please, Mr. Raffles. I'm in terrible trouble.
Really? Well, it's very becoming to you. Sit down, won't you?
Thank you.
Got it ready, Filippo?
It's all too ready, signore.
Excellent. Now, take it to the kitchen.
Yes?
Pour it down the drain and bring me some crab meat au gratin with a small bottle of white burgundy.
Bona. All the time I knew the signora was joking.
And what may I offer the lady?
Oh, nothing, thanks. Really. A cigarette, perhaps.
Of course. Bring madame some brandy, Philippe. Voici, if you have it.
Si, si. Presto. Right away, signora.
Now then,
a
light?
Thank you.
We've not met, have we? I mean, I'm sure I couldn't have forgotten.
No, we've never met. You were pointed out to me this evening at the premiere of The World.
Oh, don't tell me you went to that awful premiere, too.
Yes, we were there. And it was awful, wasn't it?
Sitting through that dreadful epic was suffering enough to last us for the rest of our lives, don't you think?
I certainly do. My husband and I both thought...
Oh, your husband. You are married, huh?
Yes, I'm Mrs. Harvey Nestor.
I might have known. Why must there always be a husband?
Oh, but it was he who pointed you out to me. Otherwise, I might not have known where to come to find you.
You were looking for me?
Oh, yes. Did you ever hear of the Wenlow pearls?
Why, certainly. The necklace of 48 perfectly matched and graduated pearls. Something to do with Napoleon, I think. Finest string of its kind in the world.
They've been in my family for over 100 years. But how do you happen to know them so well?
Well, during my past, I took a rather professional interest in such things.
Of course. How stupid of me to forget. Well, Mr. Raffles, those pearls were stolen from me at the theater tonight.
Oh, really? That's too bad.
Too bad? It's tragic. And I want you to get them back for me.
My dear lady, why should you expect me to find them for you? I'm not in the detective business.
I understood you were.
Oh, only now and then for my own amusement.
I'll give you $5,000, Mr. Raffles, if you find them for me.
Well, I'm happy to say that I find myself at the moment quite sufficiently supplied with money.
But, Mr. Raffles...
My dear lady, why in heaven's name do you pick on me?
Anne Van Zandt told me how you traced her diamond bracelet.
Oh, that was nothing but luck, really.
Anne says otherwise. You've got to help me, Mr. Raffles.
But surely the necklace is insured. Why not leave it to the insurance company or the police?
The insurance company and the police will poke around for weeks. Whoever took it will have time to break it up and sell the pearls one by one before they're caught.
No doubt. The Wenlow pearls, unbroken, will be quite impossible to dispose of for any thief, clever or not.
Then you will help me.
Dear lady, you jump to conclusions altogether too rapidly.
Mr. Raffles, I want you to listen to me. This evening at the theater, you got up and left your seat just before I missed my pearls.
I'm glad it was just before, not just after.
It was before. I remember touching them in my hand after you'd gone by me in the road.
Ah, excellent. That at least prevents you from suspecting me, which might be unfortunate.
But suppose I were to tell the police that on your way out you passed me. I missed the pearls immediately thereafter.
But that would be practically accusing me.
You're quite right. That's exactly what it would be. Accusing you. So, if you don't feel that you can try to find my pearls for me because I asked you to... I suggest that you try to find them because you don't want trouble with the police.
Was ever man so unfairly faced with a dilemma?
Well, Mr. Raffles, which is it? A $5,000 fee?
You approached me as a damsel in distress. And now you turn out to be a female with a purpose. Very well, dear lady. I'm afraid you've completely convinced me. My reform, as you seem to know all too well, is a subject for scornful laughter as far as the police are concerned. They, failed to believe that my intentions are no longer dishonorable.
Good. Then it's understood. You are to recover my pearl necklace for me, and if you're successful, I pay you $5,000.
And that puts the situation correctly, I fear. Despite the fact that I've no need for money at the moment, I'm not one to turn it down when I have fairly earned it. Yes, yes, you may count on me.
Oh, good. I'll expect to hear from you very shortly.
Oh, you will. You will. It's what you hear from me that troubles me.
Here's my car.
That's all finished. Now then, here we are. The wine and the crab of meat, that's all. And the brandy for the lady?
No. Put the brandy here, Filippo.
Huh?
I'm the one who needs it now.
Hello?
Jocelyn, this is Harvey Nestor.
Hello, Peaches, darling. Your call's a little bit late, after midnight.
Yes, yes, I know, I know. I was detained at the theater, but everything's all right, Joss. I've arranged to get the money for you.
Ah, you sweet boy. Jocelyn's so glad for you.
Well, you'll get your money tomorrow or the next day. $25,000.
In cash, lover. And in small bills. Old ones. Mustn't try to give Jocelyn money with nasty old marks on it. It can be traced.
I know you too well to try any tricks with you. But don't you try any with me.
Harvey, don't you trust your little Jocelyn?
Yes, I do. The way a mongoose trusts a cobra.
Well, after the things you wrote to me, I can understand your feelings. As soon as I have my money, you'll have your letters.
Take good care of them, Joss.
Teachers, darling. Jocelyn's whole future is in those letters, and she'll take better care of them than anything else in the world.
But, Jocelyn, if anyone should ever...
Oh, excuse me, Harvey, I didn't know you were busy.
I'm very sorry, madam, but you have the wrong number.
I get it. Remember, Harvey, $25,000 by the day after tomorrow.
No trouble at all. Goodbye. Phyllis, why'd you rush out of the theater like that? I had to face the police all alone.
I had something I wanted to do.
Inspector Hill says it will be easy to trace a necklace as famous as yours.
Only as long as it remains a necklace, Harvey. What if the thief breaks it up and sells the pearls one at a time?
The police aren't morons, Phyllis.
And neither am I. It'll be worth the $5,000 I offered Raffles if I get my necklace back intact.
You offered that crook Raffles $5,000?
He's not a crook. Not anymore. Raffles can find it if anyone can.
Of all the crazy waste of money I ever heard of. Why, for all you know, Raffles himself is the thief you're paying him to find.
I tell you, he isn't a thief. In fact, he's quite charming. And he couldn't have taken my necklace because I had my hand on it after he went out of the theater.
Then let me ask you this. Not as your husband, but as the manager of your estate. Where will you get the money to pay him? $5,000 just doesn't lie around waiting for you to pick it up.
Then sell some stocks or something.
What? Dip into the principal?
As long as I get my necklace back, I don't care what you do.
I'll tell you what I won't do. I won't let you waste your money on foolish whims like...
Stop it, Harvey. It's my money, isn't it?
That hurts, Phyllis.
I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Things all we do lately is bicker and criticize each other.
Is that my fault?
Oh, I don't know whose fault it is. I just know I'm tired of it. It's been a bad day. I'm going to bed. You coming?
In a minute. You run along.
Very well. Good night.
Good night. Now.
Hello?
Mr. Nestor calling Mr. Edwards.
It's okay, Chief. This is Velvet.
Oh, is it safe to talk?
Sure, unless the coppers are tapping your own phone.
Oh, don't be silly. What took you so long to get home? I tried to call you once before.
Well, I took my time to make sure I wasn't shattered. But it's okay, Mr. Nestor. It's come off clean as a whistle. I got the necklace right here in front of me. Now what?
Meet me at the same place tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Bring the necklace, and you'll get your $6,000.
That's copacetic with me, but you said you was broke. You got me to steal the necklace because you needed the insurance money.
Well, where are you getting all the dough from all of a sudden?
Now, don't you worry. I can dip into my wife's estate for all I want, as long as it's only temporary. I'll pay it back when the insurance company pays for the necklace.
Yeah, if I'd have known that, I'd have made the price higher.
You're doing all right.
Yeah, sure, I'm not squawking. I'll be at the same place at 4 tomorrow. And maybe I'll have something else to talk over with you then. So long.
Who is that, Arthur?
Just a guy, sugar.
About that necklace?
Yeah. You know, baby, I'm getting a lot of dough for this necklace. Mm-hmm. First for swiping it, and then for returning it. Sounds screwy.
It sounds as if someone's double-crossing his insurance company.
That's what I like about you, baby. You're the only society doll I ever see who had real brains.
Velvet, double-crossers aren't particular about whom they cheat. The sooner you get your money, the better.
We have to pay off on the necklaces tomorrow. But I got something worth 10 times as much as that.
Really? What is it?
Right here in my pocket. Take a look, Nora.
Hmm?
Take a look at a genuine gold mine.
What? That's just a packet of letters.
Oh, no, not just letters. These here are special letters. The guy's going to pay me more for these than he is for the necklace.
Well, that's wonderful, Velvet.
But I don't trust this guy. He knows I got this necklace, and he may figure on calling coppers on me.
Why should he?
Well, like you say, double crosses ain't particular. You want to do me a big favor, Nora?
Me? Well, how can I help?
Well, nobody knows about you and me.
I should hope not. But heavens, if my guardian ever found out, he'd make me give up my own apartment and go live with Aunt Clara.
Look, I want you to take the necklace and the letters to your place for the night, hmm?
Oh, but Velvet, they're dangerous. If the police...
They're not hot. They're only hot for me, not for you. It's just for overnight. I'll pick them up for you tomorrow.
No. I don't want to get mixed up in anything like that.
You dames, you're all alike. All that sweet-talking malarkey you dish out don't mean a thing.
But I...
The minute a guy really counts on you, you run out on him. Women.
Oh, all right, Velvet. I'll do it, but only for overnight.
That's better. Sure, honey, only for overnight. I don't dare to take you home. But remember, the fewer people that see you get there, the better for both of us.
Oh, don't worry. There's no doorman at my building. The only other tenant on my floor is some Englishman named Raffles, who talks as though he's swallowing a hot potato.
Just keep the letters and that necklace safe.
Don't worry. The police will never find them with me.
Police headquarters. Inspector Hill speaking.
Oh, good morning, Inspector. This is Harvey Nestor.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Nestor. Afraid we haven't any progress to report.
Of course, I understand. I called you because, well, because my conscience is bothering me.
That's so? What about?
About last night at the theater. I hesitate to make a false accusation.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't tell you this last night. But just before Mrs. Nestor's necklace was stolen, Raffles went past us on his way out of the theater.
Raffles? He was there?
Oh, yes. In fact, he stepped on my favorite bunion on his way out.
You should have told me this last night, but maybe it isn't too late. I'll pick you up in a squad car, and we'll be at Raffles in half an hour.
I'm singing in the rain. Oh, singing in the rain. Oh, blast, blazes and confounded. All right, I hear you. I'm coming. My hat, a man has no more privacy than a goldfish bowl. I say, old thing, is your finger stuck on that button or what?
We're here officially, Raffles. Keep this shirt on.
Well, as a matter of fact, I wish you'd give me time to put one on. Come in, Inspector. Who's your nervous friend?
Mr. Harvey Nestor.
We're here to find my wife's pearl necklace.
Indeed? Here? Yeah?
I told Mr. Nestor that searching your place would just be a formality. You wouldn't be dope enough to keep it anywhere near you.
Quiet. Pardon me if I continue drying myself, will you?
Sure.
And speaking of formalities, you have a search warrant?
Yes, Mr. Wise Guy. Right here.
Merely making conversation, I assure you. Now, why not begin with the bedroom? That way I can dress as you're searching.
Pretty sure of yourself, aren't you, Raffles?
Well, as only the innocent can be, Mr. Nestor. I say, that cigarette box on the coffee table would be a likely place to hide something.
Clever, aren't you? That's the one place we won't look.
How about the clothes closet in the bedroom here?
Just hand me the gray pinstripe suit while you're there, will you?
Gray pinstripe, eh? I'll have a look at it first.
Oh, me. Really, Inspector, you should emulate the travel posters and ask yourself, was this trip necessary?
Look through his clothes, Mr. Nestor. Nothing over here.
Okay, Raffles. Here's your suit.
Thank you so much.
Would you mind examining my shoes next? The black ones are the ones I intend wearing.
Cocky as a rooster, isn't he?
He always is.
Oh, no, Governor. I knows me place, Governor. But I didn't pinch no necklace, Governor. Straight, I didn't.
There's no sign of it in the closet.
Let's try the bureau.
Now, that's an excellent thought. My shirts are in the second drawer. Look at that white one on top first, will you?
All right. Here's your shirt. I tell you, he wouldn't keep it in his own rooms, Mr. Nestor.
I do think you're overlooking the likeliest place of all in not examining that cigarette box.
All right, funny man. Have your laugh. We'll see who gets the last laugh.
I may remind you of that very shortly, Inspector. What I don't understand is this sudden about-face on the part of the Nestor family. Last night, your wife...
My wife may be a fool, Raffles, but I'm not.
So? Or that, it seems, will have to remain an open question.
There's none of the rug... Isn't anywhere under the bed.
Do you suggest a blue necktie with this suit, Inspector, or do you prefer maroon?
Whichever you choose, and I hope it chokes you.
Ah, that's your chief charm, Inspector. Always a happy word for everyone.
Well, I guess you're right, Inspector. He wouldn't keep the necklace here in his apartment. No use tearing the place apart.
We will, if you say so, Mr. Nestor. It'll be a pleasure.
No. I've got some private business that can't wait any longer. Sorry I've wasted your time.
Well, I'll run along, too. But you're not clean on this thing yet, Raffles.
Well, at least I'm dressed, and that's something. Oh, please, just for my satisfaction, do look in the cigarette box.
Come on, this fellow annoys me.
Mr. Nestor, I haven't even begun to annoy you so far. Wait till I put my mind on it.
You know, there's one thing, Mr. Nestor. He didn't know we were coming here this morning. Suppose we search the rest of the building.
Do so, by all means, and I wish you good hunting. But there's no rear door I could have used, and the only other tenant on this floor is a feminine iceberg named Nora Wales.
Huh? Wales? Nora Wales? Why, her guardian is one of the trustees at my bank. She wouldn't have any truck with the likes of Raffles, Inspector.
True. Sad and desolate, but true.
Can I drop you somewhere, Mr. Nestor?
No, thanks. I'll take a cab. Well, at least I've saved my wife $5,000 this morning.
Oh, really?
Yes. Raffles is hardly the man to represent her if you're so suspicious of him.
For which, Mr. Nestor, I have you to thank. Won't be forgotten. Good day, gentlemen. Why couldn't they steal her husband instead of her necklace? I suppose the answer is he isn't worth stealing. Oh, well, a cigarette and then I... Good heavens. The necklace is here, right in the cigarette box. Suppose the inspector had. Phew. But who could have put it here? What's all this? Letters. Why, Mr. Nestor. What a foolish boy you've been, to be sure. Miss Jocelyn Lee. Mm-hmm. And how did they get here? There's only one door to my apartment, and it was bolted. And I'd been here right along. No, wait. While I was in the shower, someone could have come along the outside balcony and gone in through the French doors. Must be. Well, if Juliet can use the balcony, why shouldn't Romeo? Of course. Balcony only runs from my flat to hers. Well, let's get on with it. Now then, French doors to her living room. Hmm? Conveniently unlocked, too. Well.
Just put your hands on the table there.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Keep your hands where I can see them. I'm not used to handling guns. This one makes me nervous.
My dear Miss Wales.
I'm not your dear anything. Do as I tell you.
Of course. But since you've already cost me a very healthy fee and very nearly caused my arrest, at least you might tell me...
I might, but I won't. Put the necklace and the letters on the table and then get out. You can use the front door this time.
You're too kind, really. Sorry, I dropped the letters.
Pick them up.
Certainly. Good thing it wasn't the necklace, eh? You see, it might have... Little girls shouldn't play with firearms. I'll take that gun now. That's better. I hope you didn't hurt yourself. Too much.
You'll never get away with this.
Seems I already have, Miss Wales. A little girl with a gun should never stand at the edge of a small rug. Or may I help you up?
Keep away from me.
Just as you say. Now, a few answers, please. Why should you do me a bad turn? Why should you plant these things in my cigarette box?
I didn't mean you any harm. I saw that police car drive up, and I thought it was my place they were going to search.
Oh, so you skipped merrily out to the balcony and dropped them in my place?
Yes.
But what were you doing with the letters and the necklace in the first place?
Sorry, I'm all out of answers.
Well, it doesn't matter. Within an hour, I'll have them back to their rightful owners.
What? Oh, but you can't. Oh, it'd be worth my life if you... Oh, no, 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 please.
What is it you're so afraid of, Miss Wales? Or to be more accurate, who is it?
Oh, that's one of the answers I can't give you.
Ah, too bad. I might have been able to help you. Now, let's see. Jocelyn Lee's place isn't far from here. I'll make that my first stop.
Oh, wait. If you're taking those things anyplace, I'm going with you. Are you sure this is Jocelyn Lee's apartment?
According to the address on these envelopes. Perhaps one of these skeleton keys. This key should fit. It does. After you, Nora. You know you didn't...
Raffles, look! On the floor. Is she...
I'm afraid so, Nora. Jocelyn Lee has been strangled.
Strangled? Oh, then that makes it murder, doesn't it?
Certainly does. And look at this place. She must have put up a fearful fight.
Oh, it must have been Harvey Nestor, don't you think? The man who wrote those letters?
Could have been, yes. Oh, you know him?
Only casually.
This girl has been dead for at least 12 hours. That takes us back to 1 o'clock last night.
1 o'clock? Talbot didn't get home until 1:30.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. I was just trying to remember where I was then. You'd better phone the police and have them ask Harvey Nestor where he was when she was killed.
I intend to, Nora. And wherever you got the necklace and the letters, whoever gave them to you, you tell him that I've still got them. You tell him to come and take them away from me, if he's man enough.
Come on, Dopey. Wake up, wake up. Come on, snap out of it, sleeping beauty.
Oh, I must have dozed off. Hey, who are you?
I'm the fellow that's man enough to come after the things you heisted off of Nora Wales.
Oh, I thought you'd get here sooner.
Yeah, I know you did. You were sitting in that easy chair with Nora's gun and your dukes waiting for me. That's why I waited till you got sleepy.
But I bolted the door and, oh, of course, the balcony from Nora's flat.
Uh-huh, you catch on quick, chump. Now, come on, hand over that necklace and the letters.
I know what you'll do if I don't, but what will you do if I do?
The same thing, chump. You've seen too much.
No more than Nora has?
I got plans for her, too.
I see. We've got no more chance than you gave Jocelyn Lee, is that it?
Not even as much. I tried to be reasonable with that doll, but she wouldn't listen. She was very selfish about the whole thing.
But I've got more than the letters. I've got the necklace, too. Suppose I'm selfish.
Then you'll get what I gave her, chump. A little knock on the head and a lot of choking.
So you admit you killed her, do you?
Do you? Sure, why not? After I leave here, you won't be telling nobody.
Look, I'll make a deal with you.
The only deal you can make with me is to die quick and easy instead of slow and hard. Now just hand me this stuff, nice and polite.
But you've got nothing against me. Just cut me in on half of what you got for returning the necklace.
Why, it's only 6 lousy grand as it is. That's all that cheapskate nested ante up.
He might pay more, especially now.
Not him.
But how did you know about the letters to begin with?
Nestor hires me to lift his wife's necklace. For why? For the insurance money. Why does he need the money? To pay off this Jocelyn Lee. And me? I don't take the job till I wane it out of him. Now, come on, where's the stuff?
Inspector, have you heard enough?
All right, Corbett. Corbett, here, Corbett.
That way, you double-cross.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, dear, I'm afraid he broke the glass of the French doors when he fell through them. But there he is, Inspector, and he's all yours. Hello? Raffles speaking.
Raffles, this is Phyllis Wendlow.
Oh, hello.
I'm using my old name again since I left Harvey Nestor.
Oh, yes, I didn't know you were back in town.
Raffles, I never did thank you properly for getting my necklace back and everything. Will you take me to dinner so that I can?
Why, it'd be a pleasure, Phyllis. What about tomorrow night at Armando's?
Oh, that'll be perfect.
Ah, fine.
I'll pick you up at 7. Oh, and Phyllis?
Yes?
Just do me one favor.
Of course, Raffles.
Don't wear your pearls.
The Radio Mysteries of Raffles, starring Horace Braham, are heard over this station every week at the same time. Tonight's story was written by Bernard Dougal, and the entire production was under the direction of Geoff McGregor. Be with us again next week when there's danger, there's mystery, there's action on the way with Raffles.
Welcome back. Well, I don't know if the mystery was one of the better ones I'd heard, but I really did like Horace Braham in the role of Raffles, and honestly would love to hear more of him. If there were a complete serial episode, I would definitely be happy to play it, because he does this with just a great lightness and really just perfect delivery, just a wonderful performance. Really did enjoy him in this episode. Listener comments and feedback now, and we start with a comment from Bill regarding our recent playing of preview episodes of The Amazing World of Radio. Bill writes in, hi, Adam. Thanks for introducing us to your other podcast, The Amazing World of Radio. After listening to this episode, referring to the experiment with Angela Lansbury, and the Jack Webb episode, Operation Fleur-de-Lis, I decided to check it out from the beginning, and I'm hooked. Thanks for another great podcast. Well, thank you so much, Bill. And I do encourage you, if you've not already, do check out The Amazing World of Radio, amazing.greatdetectives.net. Currently, we're doing our Jack Webb Centennial podcast, but you can never tell what's coming up next. And there's been so many different things we've done, from old-time radio Hamilton to our Summer of Bogart and Summer of Great Movies Over Radio. Do check that out, amazing.greatdetectives.net, and I'm glad that you enjoyed it, Bill. And now we do have a couple of reviews, and we start with this from Noble over at the Apple Podcast. I can't imagine anyone not giving this podcast 5 stars. Adam is an excellent host, and I enjoy the background information he gives. He does a lot of research. I don't know how he can do all the podcasts he does 7 days a week, writes books, and have a life. I have the app, and for years I've been listening in the car and at night, just trying to get caught up. Many thanks, Adam, for a job well done, from Rick in Long Beach. Well, thanks so much, Rick. And in answer to your question, lots of caffeine. Thank you so much. I appreciate your comment, Rick. And then we also do have a review over on Facebook. Robin writes in, love the fact you have to use your mind to picture what is happening. More relaxing than the violence on television. Well, thank you so much for your recommendation, Robin. It's definitely appreciated. And I also want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Donald. Donald's been one of our Patreon supporters since February 2019, currently supporting us at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Donald. And that's actually all for now. Join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And then next Thursday, we will be back and we'll be bringing you Mystery is My Hobby. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.